Well, good morning to y'all. I am very happy this morning, and I tell you why. Because my Dodgers beat the Giants, so I'm very happy about that. It's a one out of two isn't bad, and hopefully they got two more coming and many more after that. So, but sorry for the Nittany Lion fans. I watched part of that game. When you lose your quarterback, it's kind of tough. I thought they're going to pretty much walk away with that game, but when you get an injury, that's what happens there. So today we have our scripture, and you know, as I was reading this, how many times have we read this story, and how many times that the people who are the A personalities, the doers and doers and doers, they get kind of squashed down, you know, and but you know, it doesn't have to be that way, because we're going to be looking a little bit more closely at that. But I don't know if you remember a movie called Taxi. There's a guy named Robert De Niro in there, and there's kind of a famous scene. Why, Karen seems to know it. She's smiling. And there, he says, you know, are you talking to me? And there's been many skits about that where you have like two guys who say, are you talking to me? No, another guy will go, are you talking to me? You know, they just keep on going back and forth, and you're just cracking up over this thing. And when I'm thinking about this, you know, there's attitude in that, right? There's attitude. We say, are you talking to me? You know, look at the attitude on this guy's face. You know, but and you say, well, attitude is attitude. It could be good or bad, right? And attitude is like a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically reflected in a person's behavior, right? So you know how those teenagers are. Like sometimes they go, and you go, don't give me attitude. You know, they didn't even say anything. They just rolled their eyes. Melanie's already laughing at that. How many times has she did that to her mother? I don't know. But, you know, we got that. You know, sometimes it's just a facial expression or just a little grunt or whatever it is. You know, it's just, you know, all that's attitude. But attitude can be a positive thing. You know, like a Mabel Francis, you know, has an attitude, get up day after day and serve the Lord faithfully. You know, because, you know, that's the way she, that's her feeling. She knows he's God and she's going to go, you know, follow him. You know, and others, you know, their attitudes, you know, sometimes like going, no, I don't want your way. I want a my way type attitude, right? You know, I don't like what you're saying to me, so I'm just going to go, ooh, to you. I'm gonna, and older and days behind, they say, talk to the hand type thing, right? So that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today, a little bit about that. You know, there's a common denominator, okay? In chapter 10, the other 37 verses beforehand, you know, I just, you know, wonder, why is this story of Mary and Martha here? It's the only one, this is unique to only in Luke, this passage. So why? Well, when you're looking back at the last 37 verses, you see some how Jesus teaches, and then he sees people are starting getting off track on the main thing, and he redirects. See, he's a real good teacher. Remember the 72 coming up to him, hey, Jesus, look what we did in your name. You know, all the demons, you know, they just run away and all that stuff. You know, they're going, yeah. And Jesus says, guys, okay, yeah, praise the Lord for that, but you know what? Don't forget, the most important part is that your name is written in heaven. Your being in heaven is more important than all of that. So he's just redirecting. And then when he come on to the lawyer, remember the lawyer is saying, well, yeah, I know this, Jesus, I know that. I know the two commandments, the greatest commandments and all that stuff. And he's pretty much saying, I can do it all. You know, I got this. And Jesus goes, ooh, but let me teach you a little bit more about this guy, a neighbor. You know, because this guy, you know, he wanted to prove himself that he can do it all. And he asked Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And well, Jesus says, well, are you, he redirects his question pretty much saying, are you being a neighbor to the person in need? So he just teaches and redirects us. And he's going to do this again. You know, our attitude. Today we're going to be looking at how our attitude really shapes, impacts our effectiveness and productivity in our walk with Christ. You didn't think I was going to go that way, did you? A doer. A doing. But we'll also see other things about the importance of being in all of this. Let's pray before we go on. We need the Lord's help here. Father God, yeah, this is your word. You placed this passage here for a reason, to teach us more, to redirect us from our own pridefulness, to help us understand more about what it is to come to you, how important it is to be with you, and our attitudes before you and our walk with you are so critical to how we really are effectively living for you and producing good fruit. Father, bless this time. May your name receive all the honor and glory. May your Holy Spirit empower these words and guide me in this time. And bless this time, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, Martha, you know, I don't know if they met before. I'm not sure the timing and all this stuff, but Jesus, you know, he's probably pretty well known. And here he comes to the house. Maybe Lazarus invited him. I don't know. So he comes there, and Martha's going, yeah, welcome. You know, she's probably the elderly sister. She's probably the matriarch of the house. Who knows? You know, so she's the one who welcomes Jesus and you know, a special guest. Here's Jesus, you know, and probably all these other people are following him around too. And then, of course, you know, being somebody who likes to please people and do, you know, Martha says, I got, you know, a special guest. I got to do something special. So now the wheels are turning, and she's going, I'm going to make some, you know, some Thai food. You know, like when you come to our house, usually we're going to make you Thai food if you can handle the spice and stuff like that, you know. And all joy just starts getting to work there, all the different fixings. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and then once in a while I'll go in there and taste and go, oh, that's tasting pretty good, and go back to my TV, and she just keeps on going, right, or whatever it is. But, you know, when you're preparing something special, there's a lot of work in it. And of course, when you sit down, you eat, 10 minutes later, you get up and say thank you, and you go on with it. That's the way we do it anyways. But, you know, so there's a lot of work involved in that. And usually, you know, I'm sure that Mary, her sister, you know, on other occasions, she would be there and helping out and stuff like that when you have a guest coming in. And that Lazarus or maybe Martha or Mary would agree, somebody go out there and pay attention to the guests, you know, welcome them and keep them company while everything's being prepared. Well, of course, as you see here, you know, Mary is, you know, doing all this stuff, and now she's starting to get a little bit unhappy because it's just not coming out the way she wanted. In fact, I think she's starting to feel like she's missing out on something. Actually, I'm going to use a word here. Maybe it's not appropriate, but she was ticked off, okay? She was ticked off. She's going, wait a second. I'm doing all this, you know, sweating and all this work, and here's my sister sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, I think she's getting a little jealous there, and then she's going, man, I want to put this together, but she's at Jesus' feet, and then she's getting pretty bothered. You know, she's just, I want to like to do that, but I got all this stuff going on. So she's torn. She's distracted. She's just not in a good spot. And then she comes up with that question, you know, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? Ooh, wow. It's kind of tough question. You remember that question was asked a while back? Some guys in a boat that was starting to sink in a storm, and what did they say? Jesus, don't you care? Oh, wow. Kind of coming down on them a little bit, you know? But that's where she was at. You know, when you're hot and bothered and you're a little unhappy, dissatisfied, you're going to, don't you care? Yeah, that's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to have those thoughts. Don't you care? And her attitude of, I got to get this done, blinded her from the best thing at that time. See, I think still she saw what Mary was doing, you know, listening to Jesus' words. It's pretty special. And I'm sure she wanted to be there as well, but she had this other stuff going on. So learning, you know, we're blind. Our attitude, you know, we're, our feelings, what are we setting? You know, is the meal, is the preparation, all that stuff, doing something special more important than being in with Jesus and hearing his voice, listening to his words? That's the choices we make day to day, moment to moment. And sometimes our attitudes of do and do and, you know, got to do this and got to do that get in the way of our being with Jesus. And that's the attitude that we have to, you know, just be careful of. And Mary, we look at Mary, you know, Mary just so, you know, just kind of at peace, I feel. You know, she just wants to be at Jesus' feet, just like these children at the feet of their teacher, you know, just to listen to the story, just to enjoy the words, just enjoying, delighting in the being with Jesus. Wonderful. She was determined. She didn't get torn away and distracted by all the preparations. She knew that she needed that. She delighted in his words. And Luke 9, as you remember, you know, when at the transfiguration, and you know, you had the three power disciples up there with Jesus, and the cloud was coming up, and the voice came back. It says, "Hey, this is my son. Listen to him." You know, there's something very important about that for us. You know, listening to God's words. And I can even see, she didn't ask, but Mary might have been maybe at a point, maybe when Martha was coming in and saying, "Hey, Jesus, I don't like what's going on here. Tell her to come and help me." And I can see maybe, and Mary didn't say anything, but in her heart, she probably had a question herself to ask Jesus, something like, "Jesus, don't you care that Martha has chosen to do these things rather than be with you?" Could have been a question on her heart. It's probably a question that we have on our hearts with other people in our family sometimes when we're, you know, coming to church or we're going to a Bible study or we're in the Word, we're listening to a sermon or whatever, or just spending quiet time with God. But then we think about our siblings or our parents or friends or whatever. "Jesus, don't you care?" Sure he does. We know he does. He does care. And it goes into John 10, too. And this is what's important as well. "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." These are Jesus' words, speaking to the people. "And my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall not perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." See, when Jesus says, "Well, Martha, Martha," you know, Mary has chosen what is better at this moment. He's really talking about these things that, you know, you just can't take these things away from her. Nothing can. Nothing can snatch it away from her. She chose what is eternal. And of course, Jesus, he could have rebuked Martha. He could have got up and just said, "Hey, woman, sit down. Stop running about. Stop getting all bothered over nothing. Don't get messed up in stuff and doing. I don't care about that. I want you to be with me." He could have ragged on her. But no, Jesus isn't really like that. A lot of times he just, and kindly, he just redirects, right? Redirects her. He says, "Martha, Martha, you know, hey, I know you're bothered. I know you're distracted. But the best choice is what Mary chose, to be at my feet." And I wonder how Martha felt at that time. I wonder if she just went, "You're right, Jesus." And just right then, You know, I could just see in my mind. I just think that she just said, all these prep, all that stuff, all the food on the thing, you know, on the stoves and all that stuff. I can just see her just saying, you know what? I'm just going to turn that down. I'm coming. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm going to come sit at your feet because I know that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be at your feet with my sister. I don't really need this. Yeah, I understand that now. I need you. And Mary has probably this attitude like, just give Jesus a bologna sandwich and let's just sit at his feet. Forget about all this other stuff. You know? And Jesus isn't really worried about the food. The food of Jesus is doing the will of God. He's not looking to get, you know, a little hefty up here. It's not on his mind. He desires our company more than our doing. You know, we have this issue that I got to do this for God. You know, you start putting yourself up on a pedestal. You know, I'm going to do this for you, God. Yeah, and then all of a sudden things don't turn out the way you expected or people don't even show up at all. And you just kind of go, tumble down. Or you get so bothered and you're planning and you get this wonderful program going. And even a program might be really a blessing to many and stuff like that. But what about you before God? You know, did you spend that time? Did you get your direction? Did you get the commands? Did you hear his voice to guide you in all of that? Or did you just do it on your own? You got the recipe right there. You got the experience. You got the know-how. You know, are you coming to him first? Listening to him, getting filled up with all the goodness of who he is. So choosing what cannot be taken away is really what Jesus wants us to do. You know, there's a doing, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about that. You know, he knows. But there's also remembering to choose what is most important at that time, even before. You know, we got a big thing coming up. You know, sure, we need to get busy and do that, but we need to make sure that we are at the feet of Jesus, being with him, to be able to really understand what's going on and what's really best for me, for you, and for the others around you. When you are fed, you can feed others a lot better than when you're hungry and dry and you're trying to feed others. It just doesn't work as well. So, attitude adjustment, yeah, you know. Attitude adjustment, you know, remember, what does God want us to do? He wants us to do this. He wants us to believe in Jesus, the one he sent. He wants us to regularly spend time listening to him, obeying his word, day after day, moment to moment. Those are the do's. Those are the do's that he allows us to do and expects of us. Oops, sorry, I went backwards. How about this? Have you been doing this? He wants us to be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Oh, that's scary words. So simple and so beautiful to talk about and read, and you just feel, oh, so fuzzy. Yeah, but do you do it? I tell you, I challenge you this week, starting even today, take 30 seconds of quiet. No, nothing around you, nothing on, no TV, no phone, no computer. Get off, no wife, no kids. Get off. You know, remember that, what was that, the Wesleyan, the mother of the Wesley brothers, she had all these kids, and remember what she would do? I remember telling you this. She would just put her apron over her head and just kind of sit at the table or bend down. And the kids knew when she did that, they are to be quiet. So you need to find that quiet time with him. Start with 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Just be quiet. Listen. It's hard. It is really hard. I was talking to another pastor just a little bit ago at a meeting we had, and he's the director of the adventure camp at Mahaffey, and he challenged his kids to start with 3 minutes. They did 3 minutes of quiet time before God on the first day, and then they'd build, put another three on every day. And they said that after a while, you know, when they got to the 15 minutes, that was a lot easier. But they said the three and the six were very difficult for them to get away from everything, just get quiet with him. But there's something about that, because that's when he's going to start speaking. You know, I was talking with Vicki McCloskey and about this situation. You know, she still remembers the time when she was in a hospital when her grandson, you know, he was in a car accident and he was dying. And she had a lot of commotion of the family around her, but all of a sudden, for some reason, they all left, and she was left there all alone, and it's quiet. And she heard God's voice saying, go and pray with Brett. And she did. And she told him the good news. Now, he might not have been able to answer because he was in a coma, but she trusted that God was able to work something in his heart. And she has a peace about that, even now, that she believes that God did something, a saving work in his life. And she has that. But the most important thing is she heard his voice. And she acted upon it. Listening. Kind of important, yeah? Another attitude adjustment, you know, we need to invite others to be at the feet of Jesus, just like we want to be at his feet inviting others. Just invite them. You don't have to explain. You don't have to go through a 30-point sermon or whatever. You just have to invite them to Jesus' feet. For this, you know, in 1 Peter, I was looking at this verse. I said, well, this is kind of interesting what it says here, this passage. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. So, you know, the doing. We love that, right? The doing. Yeah, it kind of makes us feel good. Add to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. All right? Those are good do's, yeah? Truthfully, we can try to do this all ourselves, but without the Holy Spirit, you will only go so far. Right? We know that. Wow, this is the fruit of the Spirit that only comes through the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. We want to be productive, right? We want to be effective in our lives for Christ. We want to be known as being worthy of being one of his own. But how can we unless we are listening to him? How can we unless we spend that time of quiet before him in his word and be obedient to him? It's impossible. It's meeting with the supernatural God who created all things. That's where it comes from. If you want to be a good doer, well, you better be a good beer. You better be with God. Be listening at his feet, spending time with him. And so the question is, are you talking to me? Well, if you're asking God, you know, and you have to ask that question, then you're too busy. You got a lot of noise going on in your life because you're not hearing his voice. Because yes, he is. He is talking to you. He's talking to me. The question is, are you listening? Am I listening? Let's pray. Lord God, again, your word is powerful, Lord. It is challenging. You think a simple story like Mary and Martha would be so easy, but Lord, it is challenging for us to take this, to be these listeners, to be these people who can, to put other things aside, put our lives aside, and come before you, the King of Kings. You are a king. When we receive you as our personal Lord and Savior. It's not just a fuzzy thing or a little doll or something that we can manipulate and just do whatever we want. No, you are the King of Kings. You are our King. We need you. We need to come before you and be at your feet so we can hear your voice and we can take your commands, your orders, of what you are giving us to do, and do it knowing that it is in your will, empowered by your Spirit. Thank you for this passage, Lord, that you have placed in your word to teach us. It's okay to be a doer, but we also need to be a beer, to be with you, and not to let the attitude of doing overcome us and keep us away from the being with you. So help us to set those priorities straight, Father, that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are, and in that, be a blessing to all around us, to be those kingdom builders for your glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and all of his people say, amen. Amen.